Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back, and we are predicting episode 8 of Survivor 44, and we are joined by Karishma Patel, who we have not had on in quite some time, from Island of the Idols. Karishma, welcome back. How's it going?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me. Going great. Super excited to chat all things Survivor.
Welcome back.
And it's going to be the coziest podcast ever for those who are watching. Karishma is chilling with a capital K.
I am snuggled in bed. This full-time.
That's a nice morning pillow.
Oh, it's so great. It's one of those cooling gel pillows, too. Mm-hmm. I love it. Love it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, don't mind me. Just get
She's just going to be here to give some fiery hot takes and then just pass out immediately after.
Pass out.
Yeah, give or take 2 minutes and 30 seconds before I pass out after the end of this.
I love it. I love it. So we haven't had you on in a while. I know we had you do a tell-all. I can't remember if we had you do power rankings with us at any point. But you were on the last season, last newbie season in the old format, right? What are you thinking about watching all of this at season 41, 42, 43, 44? And how do you feel about 44 right now compared to the other ones?
Yeah, new era or era. I don't know what people are calling it. Some whatever. New era of Survivor. It's cool. I'm glad that the show continued. I mean, after COVID and everything, we were all worried. But anytime I have Survivor on my TV screen, I'm a happy person. And it's fine, whatever they do with it, as long as it's Survivor. They've changed quite a bit. Obviously, the most glaring is the amount of days, right? I'm not a fan of that. I'm just going to put it out there. I'm not a fan of that. I understand why they did it. And it makes sense from a production standpoint. But for me personally, I need it to be a lot more days. I need, you know, day 14. Oh my God. No, day 14. I was like, Lord, this is just started. You know, like and they're like more than halfway done. So I'm just on the record, not a fan of lowering the amount of days. And then this whole, what's the next biggest thing I'm seeing? Like earn a merge. There's no such thing as merge. That's the gripe I have with 44 right now, I'd say. I love the cast and it is very, very entertaining, but I don't quite understand this whole they've merged, but they haven't merged. It's actually like a swap in disguise thing. And they've been doing that, right? In different ways, like earn the merge or reverse time or the whatever curse. Hourglass thing. And those are the two big glaring differences that I'm seeing that I'm not like big fan of. Otherwise, Survivor on my TV makes me happy. And I do think they've done better with casting and the diversity of the cast. That has definitely added so much to the game. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, it's definitely been like nice seeing different kinds of players than like even just like we talk about this so much, Phil and I, but the like who's won, like just the lineup of people who won just looks and plays completely different from what we're used to. Yeah, the earn the merge again, Phil and I talk about this a lot. Like, it almost to me is like so inoffensive but it's offensive because it doesn't really do anything. Mm-hmm. It's like this whole thing for what?
I called it last week, earn the jury. Because that's what it is, right?
Yes, like, that's exactly what it is. You nailed it. That's exactly what it is.
It's called earn the jury. Like, because they didn't merge. You can say that they merged, but they're living on one beach. But because there hasn't been a vote where everybody has been there together and everybody except the one or two people have been in danger. So you can call that first one, like just they're playing an individual game. They didn't merge because they then said, if they're not calling final 12 the merge and they're saying the merge didn't actually happen until 11. Well, 12 was actually more of a merge than 11 was, because at 11, they literally just broke them up and said, okay, now you're all going to go back to different beaches and really not have any input on anything. So if you want to call it earn not the jury, even voting.
And one side's not even voting. Excuse me, that's a swap.
And has no control yet, very much. Oh. Like, doesn't impact the vote, but like, not true.
It's like the same thing you label, right? It's like when they did the twist where, you know, the winning tribe can come and watch the tribal council as like a prize for winning. It's the same thing, just different branding.
Yeah, it is 100%. Yeah. And I got frustrated last week, and I was not angry at this episode. I actually liked the episode, and Alexa and I sat here and talked about that, despite the fact that most of the Survivor community didn't like it, but I liked it. Whatever. I was into it. I thought Matt was going to get screwed here or at Final 10 either way. I didn't feel that bad for him, even though I really like him. But the one thing that made me really mad, there was an EW article that came out the next day where Dalton Ross asked Jeff, could Matt have gotten his bag back? And Jeff's quote, and I'm paraphrasing, but you can go look up the quote. I am not exaggerating. Jeff's response was, no, not in this situation, because the point was to make it so that the team that won had no say over who went home. But he is saying that with a completely straight face, putting it in writing on Entertainment Weekly, while the team that won literally discussed for a whole day, who should we try to save and who should we place one single vote on? And they controlled a vote. That is not no say. No say is we literally sat there and had to watch it happen. They had plenty of say. It just didn't work out. So how is Matt getting his bag back less say than literally controlling an entire person's vote? It just, it frustrated me because it's like, are you listening to yourself at this point, or is it just words?
So that reminded me, production told us, bring your bags.
Really?
They didn't tell us why, but when it was locked down, which like an hour before tribal, it's you're on silence, right? I remember they're like, and just bring your bags. We can't tell you why, just bring your bags. And we couldn't guess why. So they would say stupid, weird stuff from left field all the time. So I was never guessing why they would say stuff. Like they'd be like, okay, go poop now. And it'll be for no reason, but they would tell us that, you know what I mean? So, so we were like, okay, but that was the one where that I believe that was a time where five people had to go to another beach or whatever. And it was like, okay, I mean, not a big deal. I never kept my idol in my bag. It was always either in my bra or I had a spot out in the jungle where I buried it and I marked it with like a coconut husk that I knew that I would be able to identify or that, and I buried that a little bit. So even if it rained, it wouldn't move. And so I kept it buried out there. And I remember I don't remember exactly, but I remember one time one of the producers was like, go get it. Like, make sure you have it on you. I can't tell you, just have it, just put it in your bra. I'm like, okay. Yeah. And I don't remember exactly what scenario. I think it was like, I don't think it was even relevant because I had it for like two tribals before. I just didn't use it.
That's really odd.
Yeah. And like, I think it just depends on a lot of stuff going on. Here's my guess. My guess is it was a fake idol. They're saving they want the fake idol thing to be saved for Jamie. They want to save the fake idol big thing for Jamie. If Matt tries to play the fake idol and it's revealed that it's fake, they might lose the future storyline that they're building for Jamie. So they did it on purpose. And number two, shot in the dark, been there, done that. They don't need that storyline right now. They want Matt to go home.
That's a good point with the Jamie thing.
So they're like, you know what? If we wanted Matt to have his bag, we would make sure he had his bag and it would be part of the story. But I don't think they wanted those two things that he would have played part of the story because they wouldn't have really added anything. They already had shot in the dark story and they're going to have the fake idol story. So they don't need it in Matt's. And neither was going to save him. Let's be honest, shot in the dark, one out of six, it's not going to save him.
No, we've seen it work once already and it's not going to probably work again. And the time it worked wasn't useful. Yeah.
And they have to make a show for entertainment. They do. And it just wouldn't have been entertaining. No. What were you saying?
I was going to say, I actually kind of like that he wasn't allowed to get his bag. But what is annoying is that, like, the reasoning was they couldn't impact each other. I think that's very real. Like, oh, shit, I forgot my bag.
It doesn't happen.
Like, what was it in... Game changers. Like JT didn't bring his idol. And so he went home. Like that to me is, I guess, very real. And so again, I like that Matt was just completely stuck, but to say that the reasoning is because they couldn't interact with each other is stupid.
Yeah. And they're trying to market the whole expect the unexpected. Players need to be ready for anything and everything. I mean, there was times where like we had shoes and like somebody forgot their shoes and they needed their shoes for the challenge. And it was like, too bad you didn't bring them. Like it was your choice. Then they said like, it was your choice not to bring them. Too bad. Like you're going to have to run this barefoot and you know, it is what it is.
And I don't like the 6-5 split. Like I was fine with, cause they do the 5-5 split normally. And I actually think this is better. I was arguing on a Patreon podcast. So patreon.com/survivor specialist. There you go. But I was arguing on that podcast that this is how they should do every double boot forever, because double boots should happen in the pre-merge, not the post-merge. The post-merge, we should know these people. It should be one at a time. It should be a little bit slower. In the pre-merge, we should have double boots. So get rid of the 5-5 split where both tribes are going to go to tribal. Give me a chance for half of the tribe to save themselves this way, because we see all the time, oh, you didn't win individual immunity. Now you're screwed. Like you really didn't have that much of a chance to save yourself if you're if you're somebody weak who doesn't have an idol and now you're on the side with Jonathan and Jonathan goes and wins the individual immunity and it's over. But I like this idea. I just think it's, while I'm okay with keeping you on your toes and saying, okay, we just merged, you're probably thinking you're going to get a relaxing vote and now you don't, stop calling it earn the merge because it's not earn the merge. And yeah. Alexa, you didn't give me nearly enough of a hard time for this last week. And I think I just glossed over it. But for the second time in Survivor history, Jeff just flat out lied to the contestants.
No, I was the one annoyed about it and you didn't care. It was very weird.
That's what I'm saying. You didn't give me enough of a hard time for not caring about that because you're 100% right. He lied straight to their faces for the second time in the show's history. And that is not good because he's the one who is supposed, he's supposed to be the only truthful one. Mm-hmm. And he said they will have no say in who goes home. And then they had a say in who went home. They didn't ultimately affect it, but they took Lauren's vote and put it on who they wanted. That's not no say.
Yeah, they could have saved this for another time if they were more such a hard on for this control of vote thing. Could have saved it for something else or done it before. I mean, there was enough. I just feel like there was enough. They didn't need it. And you know what? If you know Lauren had her extra vote, there was, in my opinion, there was no way that control your vote would have changed anything because of Lauren's extra vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all it does is now it's putting Heidi in a really sticky situation. And I feel like a lot of, I've been reading a lot that people are like, she just shouldn't have played it. I don't think that would have been allowed.
She wasn't 100%
had to play it. And that's what's also, as soon as they like had to start going on the scavenger hunt, I was like, there's already such a good storyline here with Matt being separated. I don't care about this, and this is already going to be interesting and heart-wrenching and whatever you want it to be. We don't need it.
They knew Lauren had an extra vote. They could do the math. There's zero way. I mean, no matter what she does, she wasn't changing what Ratu wanted to do because of her extra vote. If she didn't have an extra vote, she could have. It would have been very, very interesting if Lauren didn't have an extra vote, because then it would have just been a matter of, does this send a message to Matt and Jam Jam to follow along, right? Mm-hmm. That then it would have been, you know, do they listen to the message? Do they hear the message? And then what's the fallout of them actually changing what was going to happen? But then it would, you know, it seems like it kind of unfortunately due to Lauren's extra vote kind of fell through and just added a layer that didn't need to be added. It ended up in Jeff lying to them, like you said. And, you know, I liked the episode. I liked watching. It was very entertaining. It just felt like it was doing too much.
Yeah. And I think that's what pretty much the whole community has been arguing pretty much since, I don't know, 34, when Malcolm went to the tribal council where he had to sit there and get voted off in a two tribe tribal that we'd never seen before. Mm-hmm. It was entertaining, but it was short-sighted entertainment. It was short-sighted fun for long-term bad. Because the rest of that season is like, oh, what the heck are we watching? It's up and down, up and down, up and down. Because you got rid of a power player in a totally unpredictable way. Since that season, the next season we have the final four fire making, which is demanded and keeps going until we get to a point where the winner of your season never actually meets the theme of the season. And but we have two people.
They were not happy about that. They're happy about my season for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, but, exactly. Yeah.
I'll never forget Tommy being like, "What are you guys doing here to Rob and Sandra?"
But it's just there's been too much for pretty much 10 seasons now, and I don't know. They're never going to stop. But
they're not going to stop. Jeff loves it.
But evolving. But everybody else hates it. And Karishma, here's my question. Why does evolving mean more? Why can't evolving mean you're evolving with less? Like you're adapting and doing less. Like you're adapting to the situation. There's got to be a peak. Like there's got to be a peak. There's got to be a falling action at some point. I just don't know why we don't have one.
I think Jeff like mentioned a couple times, like he wants to stay ahead of the players. And that might be his perception of what staying ahead of the players means. Is continually adding stuff to throw wrenches at the players so they can't get ahead of production. And I think they're like winners at war Some of the players got ahead of production. It kind of pissed them off maybe. And they thought, okay, you know what? We're never going to let this happen again. And this is kind of the way that they're trying to do it.
Well, and production also in Winners at War made one of the biggest blunders they've ever made by not having an actual purpose for fire tokens. They put it in and they did not develop it at all. So that's not going to help when you have somebody like Yule sitting here.
Hated fire tokens.
If I don't know if you guys listen to Jeff's podcast, but I do, and fire tokens had a purpose for season 41 that, Phil, you would pass out if you heard it. It's, and Jeff is like, this was a horrible idea. They pretty much were going to, which we all kind of like knew this already. They were going to make like a money-based season, like a Survivor economy season, which I think I've said on this podcast before, I actually think is a kind of cool idea, but there was going to be a trading post, and I am dead ass serious.
I heard this.
Rick Devins was supposed to work at the trading post, like at the Cochrane, kind of like with the Cochrane yacht situation. And the play, so he would be like the Robin Sandra of your season, pretty much.
Wow.
And you would just go to him and he'd be like, howdy, partner. Can I sell you some peanut butter? And like that was like, going to be the season.
Like Wells in Bachelor of Paradise as the bartender.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
Somebody really needs to just be like, Jeff, I love you, but like intervention time. I love you, but intervention time. Like I think
it happened for that.
Oh my God. That's crazy. The fact that that was even allowed to come out of his mouth and be even thought of as a possibility blows my mind. I'm very happy that didn't happen.
Yeah. But another thing that he says is I wish I didn't know this, but he said, you know, he thinks about the game a lot and will think of something that happens and reverse engineer to get to it. So I think that's like their way of like staying ahead of the players. But then to me, it's like controlling the players.
I agree.
They know the story that they want to tell. That's not new news. That's like old news. That's been the case for years and years and years and years. That's the case with vast majority of reality shows, the production, totally. Especially the successful ones. It is what it is. It's an entertainment industry.
Totally.
It's television production. While it's not scripted and while it's not, you know, mostly not fake, it is producer manipulated to the extent it needs to be in order to tell an entertaining story throughout the 13 episode arc. And in order to do so, yes, they cast really intriguing and interesting people and diverse people, but that can only take you so far. They have to almost inject a little bit more into each to get it up to the level that CBS is requiring.
Yeah, because
what they require, you know,
seasons 1 and 2 are the only two seasons that are actually like pure Survivor. Everything after that just starts to become something different because they start introducing the swaps and then other twists and whatever. But it makes sense. And the one thing that I love about Survivor, though, is they'll know their story ahead of time. They'll know what they want. But there are so many times that they don't actually get the outcome they want.
Yeah.
And that's the best part. Like we just said it with Tommy. They were not happy about that. But what are they going to do? They don't actually rig it. And I think that's the most important thing after all this.
Absolutely.
But stop. When you have so many damn twists,
it
almost feels like it's being rigged even like accidentally, which is just frustrating.
But. Yeah, I got the feeling last season, like they really wanted like Jesse really badly and we're trying to make that happen for his story and everything, right? And it's okay, didn't happen. They got another, you know, story out of it, and it is what it is. You have to pivot. You have to adapt. And I go both ways, right? We would miss the injections if they weren't there. We would miss it. It would turn into like, what are these like dopey other channels trying to make these Survivor knockoffs?
They're everywhere.
They're boring. They're dull. Let's be honest. They're dull. They're boring. They don't have that je ne sais quoi that Survivor has. And we hate to admit it because we're so critical of it, but that is the production injections that they've kind of put together.
That's a really good point. I appreciate that.
One of my really good friends, Alexa, you remember Blake?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I talked to one of my really good friends and he was saying to me, you know, complaining about everything. And I said, so why do you still watch? I was like, I was like, I'm trying to figure out why you still watch. And he was like, I just, because I'm hoping it's going to be good again. And like, that's, I feel like that's how a lot of us are, right? Like, we're hoping that one day we will see something that we want come back into action, even if it's just for one season. And I'm not even saying back to basics. I'm just saying, like, don't have people lose their vote. Don't have people lose whatever. Somebody posted, I forget if it was Rob's fact checker or somebody, but John sent it over to me. There have been 31 votes cast so far this season. On your season, I think it was something like 60 had been cast at this point. That's insane. Like, it's almost double.
And how many against
yeah.
me?
Yeah, and how many? You might have had more against you than this whole season has already.
I think so. I think I had more against me than
you. Wow, that is such a fun fact.
Crazy, like, it is absurd. Wow. That type of stuff. Like, when I say back to basics at this point, I mean, give me whatever the heck was going on in season 28. I'd be fine with that. Like, yeah, let's watch it. But look, I get it. I get that we're spiraling out of control. We're George Clooney and Gravity. We're just going, and it's never going to stop because there's nothing to stop us. Like, so. Yeah.
And we'll continue talking about it, and we'll continue to have a couple episodes here and there that will just blow our minds. Yep. And we'll keep the momentum going.
Yep. I mean, and the people who are watching at this point are never going to stop. They're not. The ratings are good. I asked this question to our patrons on Thursday morning. I said, what is the one thing that will need to happen for Survivor to stop? Like, for you to stop watching Survivor, I mean. I don't have an answer to that question.
It hasn't changed enough for me to even consider stopping or watching. And I can't imagine anything that they could do for me to stop watching it, to be honest. I mean, I'd still watch it. Even if it offended me, I'd still watch it. And it has, but I mean, it's still good, you know?
Yeah. I know. I ask myself that a lot because I watch Survivor and like do this. I don't really watch. I like have a little notebook. Like, that's not fun. I don't watch for fun. So I always wonder like, well, I do watch for fun, whatever. But I always wonder if I didn't do this podcast, would I, like, would I continue to not make plans on Wednesdays or continue to not do something on Wednesdays to watch the show? And I think I probably still would. It's like a ritual, you know? It's like, it's Wednesday night, you watch Survivor. I light my Jeff candle, you know, it's just what you do.
Oh, there you go. No, it's just, there's something about it that's still so interesting. And it's the core premise, which cannot change. It's the core premise that's really just so interesting. And I think, I mean, no matter what they do, it's always going to be interesting. I think I mentioned, like, I did a podcast with Rob like a week or two weeks ago or something. And I mentioned I miss themes. I loved the themes. I thought it was just like interesting and fun. And yeah, sometimes super cheesy and didn't really work out. But I really liked, the themes of just some kind of a quirky, like, cast theme or
you, like, guys had a theme ball, like,
those
theme.
Island, those, I liked that stuff, that cheese. I think that was fun. And then don't mess with the contestants, let them play Survivor, but within this theme, I don't know. I thought it was cool. Even like Heroes, Hustlers, I liked it. Weird. I liked it.
Oh, I remember, Alexa, remember we did that podcast with Shannon and Lauren and Rob after, like, when we were in the in-between 40 and 41. And Rob was like, what would you want to see change? And I said, Survivor has a problem with the word versus. I'm tired of the word versus. Like, they always want to do that. And he gave me such a, he's like, what, Heroes versus Villains? That wasn't good. Like, fans versus gamers, that wasn't good. And I was like, no. It's just, we already know when you're going out to play a game, you're facing everybody. Mm-hmm. When you say this versus that, you create allegiances that don't need to be there. Mm-hmm. But what's happened now is with 41, 42, 43, 44, they've gone such the opposite direction of that, that now there's nothing to differentiate these seasons from whatever else is going on. The versus doesn't necessarily need to be there, but Island of the Idols doesn't have a verse in it. But we know, okay, that's the one with Rob and Sandra with the giant heads. Like, if my parents watch the show, they watch every season. If I say, oh, you know, it was the season Tommy one, they'd be like, which one was that? I'd be like, the one with Rob and Sandra with the giant heads. They'd be like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Which one was this? But 41, 42, 43, 44, they're just 41, 42, 43, 44. And numbers are numbers. They have no meaning.
You're so right. When you just asked the first question you asked me, like, what do you think of this, like, the new era, the last four seasons? I was like, which is which? I have a really hard time differentiating which is which. Not like to undermine the players and their experiences or anything like that, but I mean, they're very much the same thing with just slight tweaks going on. So much so that even in 43, like the players like knew what was going to happen before it was happening, you know?
Yeah.
And could plan for it. This birdcage thing was a little bit new. I don't know how I feel about that, but I mean, essentially it's the same four seasons in my opinion.
Yeah. It seems like 43, they like gamed it, and 44, maybe because like they didn't get to watch enough of 43. I appreciate that 44 is not doing that. Like, I think it's interesting that the players are either not thinking about it, or maybe they're like, there's no knowledge is power to sniff out. I don't know. Are 8 million of us just like rage watching at home every Wednesday night? This like kind of makes me laugh.
I happy watch. No matter how I feel, I still happy watch, because I've made the choice. I've made the choice that I'm just going to, enjoy it for what it is. And that's it. And I mean, I never knew this until I was on there and like noticed Survivor fandom. I don't want to make like a generalized statement, but I have a feeling, and this is just a guess, but I have a feeling a majority is very young. Like very like Gen Z and lower. It just appears that like it's the high school kids that are like all over this show right now. Mm-hmm. And Survivor production has to have roundtables about this, because this is their future.
I think
kids.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. I think the biggest thing I've noticed is Gen Z is the most vocal about it. And then the people like me and Alexa, the former players, whatever, like people who are like late 20s, early 30s, mid 30s, late 30s, like that seems to be, we have the voice, the platform, you know, air quotes on that, because we've been doing this for a while. Gen Z is now saying, well, we want to get in there. We want to talk about it. We want to put our own stamp. And the people who are being ignored are actually what I think is still the largest portion of viewers, which is the people who are like 50 plus who have been watching since Borny. Now, granted, that's not the future of your show, but I still think if you're getting 6 million viewers an episode, I would say probably about 3 to 4 million of those are that, like that type of person. I just think it is. Yeah. So, but they have no voice because they don't care to go on the social media. They don't care to do any of that.
Exactly.
But
also, and also like they, and we, as we just talked about, are going to watch, like, I'm not going to stop watching because I love it. And it's like a part of my life. So even though the show is becoming more, it's becoming more like instant gratification. Like Phil, I remember you made a comment about like, they're trying to make Survivor bingeable, and it's, I don't even know what word I'm trying to use, but like every episode is like explosion. But like when you put it all together, does that make sense? I don't know. Week by week, it's stressful.
There's no more like, here's your arc, right? Like, and we'll start talking about the rankings now, because I think about back in the day, right? What was it? Day one, Colby and Jerry, we knew that there was going to be something with Colby and Jerry. And I've been talking about Colby and Jerry so much lately. And I think it's just because like, they're like the most iconic duo. I know everybody talks Rudy and Richard, but Colby and Jerry were iconic. And we knew that there was going to be something from day one, and that didn't come to a head until final eight, final seven, like whatever it was. But now, last week, we get, hey, you guys think Danny might, like, it might be time to like start thinking about Danny. We haven't heard anybody say, let's start thinking about Danny the whole entire show. We're coming up. That was episode 7. That was the first time we heard anybody say, hey, you guys think we should start thinking about Danny? And all I can think is, guess who they're going to be thinking about this week? Probably Danny, because there's no more like 6-7 episode arcs. It feels like it's, we're going to bring it up an episode or two before it happens, or even in the episode that it happens, because we live in a different society than we did 23 years ago, but still it does have a lot of just instant gratification.
Yeah. And people have been talking about Danny. I guarantee you people have been talking about Danny. They're just choosing the sound bites, right? It's moving very, very quickly. They have 42 minutes to squeeze all of this in. You know, it's a lot of story attempts to squeeze in. And so they're like, all right, well, oh my God, do we have time now to push? Okay. We're 2 episodes away from Danny going, this is where we put the Danny sound bites in. And you know, That's what's happening, but it's still freaking entertaining.
It is.
You know, I can't wait for next week. I mean, I was so sad to see Manny get split up out of the game. But it, I mean, it's going to happen. If not this way, it was going to happen. I guarantee everybody was like, these two have to be split up. And I will say this, and you guys didn't ask me about this, but I do want to mention it. Like watching Matt reminded me so much of Tommy. He just reminded me of Tommy so much.
I love that.
Like super likable, very, you know, just sincere threat.
Yeah. Right?
It just reminded me of him a lot when I was watching him.
Manny's a good couple name. I feel like I've heard like 50 of them.
Yeah,
I like Frank and Ship, but they like Frank Manny. And Ship
I call them Frat, Franny and Matt.
Yeah, and they're still together, which is super cute,
they
right?
They are, like, which is amazing. Oh my God, I loved that.
Yeah, and I can see how a relationship could still be going really strong and be actually the real deal, because when you're out there and you're in this like vortex, you know, and somebody sees the real you immediately, whereas when you're dating, it takes like what, 6 months nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, and if it's gonna work, you kind of just know it. And I think it's really cool. So in my opinion, Matt, you won. You know,
I think so.
You won the long game.
And Franny, I'm kind of frustrated. Like people are like, how could Franny let him go? Why didn't she drop when the option was to not beat an NFL player at a game? She also, the mayor of Ponderosa is going to vote for her. Like the first person at Ponderosa is going to be screaming her name from the rooftops. That doesn't sound too bad to me if I'm at the final tribal council.
No, and I'll be completely honest. Like in the moment, it's easy for us as viewers to think ahead and see the big picture and see these options laid out. But in that moment, when you're in it, you can be a really, really sharp, smart survivor player, but you're also starving. And when you're starving, you're incapable. Your brain is just physically incapable of thinking of even some of the simplest things. I mean, I don't want to downplay Franny's mental acuity, you know, very, very, very smart, but I have a feeling
I think she did the right thing.
The whole, you know, that meme with the chick with all the geometry and shit. I don't think that was that. That's all. It's like peanut butter sandwiches floating around. Like there's no geometry floating around at that point. You're just like win. Think about it later. Just deal with it later. But win.
Yeah,
I'm glad she won. She should have done that. It's like ridiculous to me that people are questioning her.
Ever since the hourglass twist, and like I didn't realize that this was something that needed to be said about Survivor, but when you go on Survivor, you got to play stuff to win. Like I understand that back in the day it would make sense to maybe throw the family challenge or something like that because you didn't want to have to make those decisions. There's barely any decision making going on at this point, and it's so random. You just got to play to win. You
don't know exactly, and you don't know what kind of twists, advantages, what kind of crap is coming around. In order to throw a challenge, you have to have certainty of what's going to happen. If you throw it, you can't have any doubts of what's going to happen when you throw the challenge because you are putting that ball in motion, right? No pun intended. Yeah. So there's no certainty. So there's no way she can throw it because she's not certain she wouldn't lose another ally or Jeff would be like, okay, here's an hourglass. Franny, you just lost. You're no longer safe.
Yeah.
Like
your immunity actually is an auto. You go home.
No, but she's done that shit before.
Yeah.
So you have to win. I think everybody's saying she should have dropped it. I get it, but no, it's a talking point, but it's not realistic.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, let's rank these 10 people so that we can actually talk about them more.
35
literally.
Minutes in.
And so Karishma, the way we do it, one is your safest, 10 is who you think is going to go home. We go one first and then 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. One does not necessarily mean who you think is going to win the game. You just don't envision them going home this week.
Oh, okay.
So I have to put you on the spot because you're too comfortable and it's 9:30 at night for me. Who you got as your safest person this week?
Carolyn.
Same.
Yeah, we all have Carolyn.
Carolyn's not going home. Carolyn's not going home next week.
Let's hear your take on Carolyn. Why is she safe this week?
I don't think anybody wants her out of the game for a variety of reasons. Her and Jam Jam, I don't know if people kind of see that Carson's like kind of with them or not, but People are not viewing her as a threat. And I certainly hope people are not viewing her as a goat. And I think the whole concept of goat should be thrown out in this new era. I haven't seen this concept of goat in the new era as much as we used to see it. But I think she's like, she's doing a good job. Not sort of putting too much spotlight on her. Mm-hmm. Ever since this quote unquote merge, but that's at least what they're showing us, right? They're showing us she's kind of going a little bit more under the radar, which is what she should do because she's in the minority tribe, right? Let Ratu and Sokka go at it with each other. They have the majority. They have like the big, you know, alliances. Put your hands up and be like, I got nobody. Why would you even focus on me? And I think that's what she's doing. So I think she's doing a fine job.
I have her at number one also. I mean, she has an idol, and I've been saying since this fake merge, whatever happened, that if she gets wind that she could go home, she is playing the idol immediately. Like, that is what Carolyn is going to do. She's a paranoid player, maybe mm-hmm. for good. But Christian, you brought up the goat situation. I think the reason why the word goat's not being thrown around so much anymore is because you could almost argue that all three of the winners were who people thought was going to be the goat that they were sitting next to, right? Like, look at Owen and Cassidy's face last season. They could mm-hmm. not believe that all those votes went Gabler. The season before, Marianne was being brought along early on because they thought they could beat her. And then all of a sudden they realized, oh, crap. And then you go all the way back to Erica. Deshaun and Danny knew early on that she was a threat, but they did not think that – Deshaun did not think, oh, Erica's mm-hmm. got this over me. There's no way. So I think that's why we're seeing GOAT kind of go away and Carolyn suddenly becomes dangerous.
There's been – in this new era, there's been a transformation of the qualities that are appreciated and valued – in a survivor player and a survivor winner. And that's been a change in the new era that is welcome. You know, I just want to see, power players still. And I think the winners have been power players, but I just want to see more of it. But you're absolutely right. I think this whole concept of GOAT is turning into just a construct now.
Mm-hmm. And Alexa, you had her at one. Any other reasons?
Nothing else to add. I had a question. Carolyn, in a lot of her preseason, she says Nora was like her. Nora was the only player she's ever related to. Like, I think it's really cool to hear this conversation about goats because I mean, you could speak to this better than I could, Karishma, but I think Nora was someone who is like one of the more recent mm-hmm. people that players saw as a goat. And now when you look at how Carolyn is being received, how many, like not that many seasons later, it's really interesting to see how it's changed.
Yeah.
I know they're obviously not the same person, but this, like, that relation.
Yeah, it's exactly, I think it's what Phil mentioned is like, well, what is a goat anymore? What is a goat anymore? Is there any single person this season that you would put money on not winning? No.
Yeah.
I think anybody this season could win. And you know,
there's no one like hated.
Yeah.
Even if you're hated, I mean, you could turn it around like that. There's so many different ways. You know what I mean? There's no like real people that you just cannot imagine a scenario where they could win. I think I could see anybody in that seat as a winner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I completely agree for the most part, but I still think Carolyn's got to argue it. But anyway,
yeah, I mean, I don't know as a winner pick, but I do know she's not going anywhere.
Yeah, she's not going home. If she went home this week, that would be absolutely shocking, which is crazy because we're at final 10 and I would be shocked to see Carolyn go home. That just speaks to they're doing a better job of casting.
No, what would have to happen for the target to be Carolyn? It would just be, I cannot imagine what would
happen. Everybody else would have to like be safe and it's between her and somebody they don't think can win, which, hey, that might happen. We don't know. There could be 8 people with immunity this week.
Someone figures out that she has the idol. All this talk about the fake idols and the real idols.
They try to blow. Yeah. And they try to.
That's like naturally going to get back. Mm-hmm. But her whole starting tribe is pretty much gone. So a lot of that evidence is gone too, mm-hmm. which is good for her.
Yeah. Okay. Karishma, who you got at 2? Since we all have the same number 1, you're still on the spot. Who you got at 2?
Who's not going next week is number 2.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Franny. Mm-hmm. I think spotlight off of Franny. There's no more Manny. So I don't think people will be looking at Franny.
But do we want Franny to lose so her and Matt can just hang out at Ponderosa?
Oh my God. Their love blossom even more at Ponderosa. I've been a witness to that, by the way, which is cool.
Yeah.
Elizabeth and Jack are engaged.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. That did happen at Ponderosa.
Yeah, that happened. They never played together in the game.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. Good he point. Was voted out before we merged.
Yeah. But, he was the
final somehow right? made it to jury. There was something weird going on.
We forget about that.
Because they knew Elizabeth was like, yo, I want to marry that guy. Wow. I did not realize.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So they met her at Ponderosa and they fell in love. And then after Elizabeth was me. Right. So I got there right after they had like 2 days together. So it happens, people. It happens.
Wow. Okay. So beautiful. Franny and Matt.
All right, Franny's out.
Not next week at least. I couldn't. That would be a stupid move for them. Not next week.
Yeah, she lost her teeth, right? Like you lose Matt, now you're alone. Oh. Try to bring her in. Don't just get rid of her.
Yeah, exactly.
Alexa, who's your two?
I actually have Jam Jam at number two. He's been getting a lot of attention the past few weeks, but he maneuvers out of it so beautifully. And it's really interesting because in this past tribal council, he's like, I used humor to deflect like my fear. And yet people still like, they believe him. Like his social game is so good that people still want to play with him despite how obvious it is that he's doing well. And I think there's going to be like a Soka Ratu thing, like what you said, Karishma. So him and Carolyn are kind of useful. They can be, and I think they almost watched each other die. So now they'll sort of get back together. I think
they'll be closer than ever. I know. I cried. I was like feeling a lot.
I know.
Cute. I really adore Jam Jam.
Yeah, Jam Jam was great, and I like that they're really building up how much Carolyn likes him now after they had their feud early on. I think that's important. I have all of Tika as my 1, 2, 3, so I go Carolyn 1, I have Carson at 2, and I have Jam Jam at 3. I think they are safe.
You're in a good spot.
Yeah, I think they're cruising now because whatever, if it was the twist, if it wasn't the twist, whatever it was, there's 3 of them, and there's 7 from the other 2. Now, I understand that we're getting down in numbers for all the tribes. So numbers don't really matter. But the names that have been coming up, Jam Jam, and then consistently Ahsoka or Aratu.
Yeah.
Now, if Jam Jam and Carson both become valuable because, like, Jam Jam just survived that, Carolyn can go back and say, this is what everybody wanted, you gone and Matt to still be here. Now they kind of can pick which side of this divide do they want to go with. And the bigger threats are Danny and Brandon and Heidi and maybe Jamie, at least in her own mind. And like though, like, and Franny, I mean, those are the bigger threats right now. I think Tika's cruising. I got Carson at 2 and I go Jam Jam at 3. I think they're really in a good spot.
Yeah, I'll do Carson at 3.
Yeah, he's also my number 3.
Look at us.
What do you think about Carson, Karishma? He's been a polarizing figure ever since his online store. What do you got?
I think Carson is very disarming. I think he's got great body language that does not threaten anyone, that does not put up red flags quite yet to anybody. I think like the tone of his voice, his demeanor, when people are talking, to just be a listener and a nodder, those nonverbal cues or like intangible cues that he's using are really working in his favor. And I think he's got a bit more longevity because of that. I think he's gonna like have to like lose a challenge and have to be like voted out a little bit later on. But I think, you know, he's got the qualities of somebody that's just not going to put up red flags.
Yeah. I agree.
I mean, he's a puzzle. All these puzzles that he's like just championing, he should be a target, shouldn't he?
Yeah.
It's crazy that he's not.
Right?
And yeah. And he's also, I think now it was, I don't know which episode it was either this or previous week, but I feel we heard confirmation that Carolyn is who he wants to work with. And it seems like Kane as well. And that could be sort of building that anti-Soka alliance because Carolyn and Jam Jam are alone. Mm-hmm. So he very well could run that.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
All right. Moving on to four. I have Franny at four. I haven't said her yet. So that's where I have her. I do think that, like you, Karishma, I think that she becomes she's not a target now. Matt's gone. Everybody knows how tight she was with Matt. Seems like Heidi's reasoning almost for why she wanted Matt to go was because of how close Franny was. Franny, everybody now knows, except for probably Jamie, everybody knows that Franny really like lost her best buddy out there. That's a good time to pick that person up when there's this many numbers left. If this was final five, final six, maybe you're not so worried about it. But at final 10, why get rid of the lone wolf? It's too early. So I think she's in a good spot. I have her at four as my highest ranking non-Tika person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's probably pretty safe. I have Lauren at four. Lauren still has that extra vote. Everyone's talking about it. No one's doing anything about it. I feel like it gets stronger the longer she's around. I feel like 10 people better than 11. And she got her vote stolen. So she like didn't really have, even though she ended up getting what she wanted, she didn't really have to vote for anyone. So that also kind of like saves her a bit. Mm-hmm. And I thought her and Heidi were close. I feel like they're going to have to reconvene after that tribal council, but I don't know. Why would Lauren go home?
Yeah. I put Lauren as number four.
I love Lauren. I feel bad. Yeah. We haven't seen her.
Yeah, I forgot that.
She does too.
They're screwing her. They're really,
it's ridiculous.
I texted her about that. I was like, I think it's bullshit what they're doing. It's but
terrible.
So would you put money on her?
You know what it means? Because I did the shit with me too a little bit in the beginning. I think what they're doing is they're setting up for a big like story arc with her. I mean that has to be my guess. They're not going to purple her to the time of whatever. I think there's a story. There's a story with her.
I think that's
coming up.
I hope so. I don't know though. I don't know. I mean, there's always somebody on every season who just gets pretty much ignored. And you know, we were laughing. Like Heidi has been one of the more invisible players, but she's also been part of two of the biggest moments of this season so far. She was a huge factor in the Claire boot, and then she was a huge factor last week. But other than those two, we haven't seen anything really from her at all, which makes it hard to pinpoint what do we think of her and how is she going to recover from this? We've seen that she's definitely a good strategist. She was thinking it through a lot last week. Do I actually want to keep Matt if he's not my number one, but he's really well-liked by everybody else? I think that those are great points.
But did Heidi make any enemies?
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
Except Jam Jam.
I have no idea.
Because we don't really know anything about Heidi, did she make enemies? Or is everybody going to be like, well, that's what the group said you had to do? Like, I don't know. And so that's the only reason why I have her a little bit further back in my rankings. I don't know.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Karishma, why don't you do your five? These are your middle grounds.
Now it gets tricky.
Yeah.
Who was, can you remind me who was safe? It was last week. It was Franny, Kane, Heidi, Danny, Carson, and one other person was with them.
And Carolyn.
Carolyn. So who do I think is next in line to be safe next week? Jamie. It's not her turn yet.
Okay.
Her turn will be a coming.
It will. Oh, it's coming.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy to watch. It might be a fantastic episode to watch, but it's not yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I think she's definitely in trouble, but I feel like it's easy to watch the show with like short-term memory. It almost feels like so long ago that she was like running the show, had two idols. I feel like we need to like relearn that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I actually have Kane all the way up at five. Kane could go home this week, and I really wouldn't be that shocked. But when I look at everybody else, the people I have below him, Danny, who I think people are starting to bring up his name, Lauren, who we haven't seen much from, Heidi, who could have made enemies, we really don't know, Jamie, who we know with the fake idol that's going to come, and then Brandon, who has no protection and is the biggest guy out there. I just have to put Kane ahead of them right now. So that's who I have at number five. And I just have Jamie lower. And I don't know if it's like personal bias or what, but like, I'm not getting whatever Jamie is doing. Like, and I think it's the edit's fault.
It's the edit, yeah.
But I'm not getting what she's doing. And therefore, I'm like, okay, this is being forced for some reason. She's going to get screwed at some point because she's going to say something. The next episode where she says, I'm going to use my magic wand and I'm going to make sure that person goes home. That's the episode she's done.
Yeah.
And it's coming. And it's going to be like, I don't think she makes it to May. Okay. I think she's going before May.
Clocks are ticking.
It is going to be May. Alexa, who's your five?
I think Danny is going to be my number five, which is a little high for someone whose name has been coming up. It only came up once. And one of the main people who had strong feelings is gone now. And I feel like there's going to be a lot of aftermath from Matt going away. And I think, like, Danny isn't the person to get revenge on if you want to, like, avenge Matt. So I think his name's going to keep coming up, but I think he'll either sniff it out or they'll move on to somebody else.
I think also by Matt going home, the attention now turns to let's get rid of a Ratu.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's four Ratus left.
Yeah.
There's only three Sokas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the attention now turns and it's maybe the six of us should vote out a Ratu and we can do it this week because Lauren only has one extra vote. So if they all stick together and they vote as five or as four, they'll get her extra vote. They have five. We have six.
Mm-hmm.
We have to make this move now. Cause if they go one more week, now you've evened the numbers up 5-4. They're not even, but she has the extra vote, which makes it 5-5. So this kind of feels like a week where a Ratu has to go, which makes Danny a little bit safer. Maybe I didn't give the editors enough credit. Maybe his storyline will be three episodes instead of two. All right, we're in the back half now. My number six, I'm going to go Heidi.
That's who I have. I have Heidi. Off the cuff here.
Love it.
I just think like that move can't look bad for her last week because it seemed like everybody knew what she was going to do. And it seemed like most of the drama that were in the confessionals from Franny was just like her trying to save Matt.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like everybody probably came to agreement of just take the vote from Lauren, put it on Jam Jam.
Yep. There's consensus. I don't think she made any enemies. I don't even think Carolyn's going to consider her an enemy because she was there during the discussion. So.
Yeah,
I think it's weird that people have been jumping on her. I don't think like there was anything she could have really done.
No.
People were saying that it was like such a waste of the advantage that she didn't know what she was doing, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I think that she knew exactly what she was doing. I think she did this totally purposefully.
They did a confessional where she was like, I can change the outcome of the vote. And I'm thinking, you're wrong.
Yeah. Not really. Yeah. You really? Because they don't know who they're voting for.
But here's where the kicker is. And it comes down to a rule. Because she could change the outcome if her control the vote lasts through a revote.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's how she can change. But we don't know if that's the rule. I'm going to bet and say that's not the rule. I'm going to say that the revote, fresh slate.
And she also would have needed to be able to, she would have had to have that happen and known that maybe she could control both of her votes because she has an extra vote or the extra vote's going to be nullified and can't be like,
yeah.
I know the alternate timeline was actually just going to be Lauren and Heidi asking Jeff all these clarifying questions because there was so much that needed to happen.
They probably did.
Yeah.
And we're also in our confessionals, like we're talking. It's not just question answer. Like we're having a conversation with the producers. It's a back and forth, and a lot of it, at least for me, and I'm sure everyone else, like you're asking the producers to clarify some things. And there's some things they can't, but there's some things they can.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I'm sure this was asked, and these are things that they have to know. It's not fair for them not to know. Like, oh, we can't tell you whether your control is just the vote or also the revote. No, they need to know these things. So I'm sure they were told, but
yeah,
it was probably after Heidi's confessional. I think she's smart enough to know where the numbers would fall. So she probably got clarification after that confessional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Alexa, who's your six?
I have Franny at six and Heidi at seven. So everyone that we've already talked about, which is kind of like low for them. I think as much as like, I don't think that Franny's going to go home, but at the same time, she doesn't have a guaranteed person who's voting with her anymore. She still has, you know, she's still allied with Heidi and Danny, but it's not the same. She pretty much was voting with two votes previously. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to Heidi, I think there's going to be a tension on her just because she was like forced into having this big public moment. And I actually liked, the only thing I liked about it was that it was public. I think that made it a little interesting, but I don't think she's in trouble, but I just think her name's going to be out there because she had to make a big decision in front of everyone.
Yeah. I'll finally put Lauren. We heard from her a little bit last week. I thought that she was toast last week. I thought somehow, some way, they were going to use this advantage and get rid of Lauren Brandon vote for Lauren, and then everybody else does. But they gave us false hope. It was never going to happen. But I think Lauren could go home this week, but I still think she's less dangerous than a Brandon or a Jamie who thinks she has a real idol. Maybe all of a sudden she starts telling somebody that she has a real idol. And who's the other person? Oh, and then Danny, who I just think, like, name came up. I'm worried he's on radars, and I don't think he realizes he's on radars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think I have Kane. I'll put Kane next. I think Kane's got Tika behind him. He's got Tika support.
Yeah.
So I think Kane's got Tika support. So I think he's probably next. Who do we have left? Who's left now? Or not so, we, me.
Yeah, for you, right? So you have Brandon, you have Danny, and you have, who's your other one? Brandon, Danny, and Jam Jam. You haven't said Jam Jam yet.
Oh no, Jam Jam's safe.
Okay. So I told you. Is this your eight?
He's a little bit higher. He's a little bit higher than eight for me, but I'll put him at eight.
Well, so you have Kane at seven, Heidi six, Jamie five, Lauren four. We can move them all down one, you know.
I'll put Jam Jam before Heidi.
Okay.
Halfway cool. through. Yeah. Jam Jam before Heidi.
Okay. I was surprised you hadn't said Jam Jam yet. I was starting to think he wasn't getting any love from you over here. So
yeah. No, and all I have left now is Danny and Brandon.
It's it, yeah.
Yeah, I think my guess would be Brandon goes next week.
So you got Danny at nine, Brandon at
Lauren, and Lauren uses her extra vote. And Danny plays his idol and idols out her extra vote.
So he won't know that she plays the extra vote if she does, though, because that is one of the actual secret things. They go up and she just can have the extra piece of paper. So he won't know that to play the idol.
Do you think it'll be Danny versus Brandon next week?
I haven't gotten there yet.
You haven't gotten there yet? I'm so happy. All right. I will. All right. What are y'all thinking?
Are we all on eight?
So Krishna, Krishna put Jam Jam at six, Heidi seven, Kane eight, Danny nine, Brandon 10.
I'm going to put Jamie at eight. I'll finish up. I'll go Jamie eight, Kane nine, Brandon 10. Okay. I think you make a good point, Krishna. I think it's like not necessarily Jamie's time, but just because of how like they've made her, I feel like it could always be her time.
Yeah.
And I'm really bummed that Kane, I like always have Kane really low because I really love him. I feel like he's the most like innocent person on this season. He's actually just out there like having a great time. Yeah. But I really like don't know who he's allied with. And that's kind of the same thing with Brandon. Yeah. It seems like the road, what are they? Ratu?
Ratu is
from tight with Lauren. He's very, very close with Lauren.
Yes. And like after this week, I was like, oh, okay. They're really tight. But I just don't know much about them. And I think any of them could go home.
I'm getting burned, right? Because I had Brandon at 11 2 weeks ago. I had Brandon at 12 the week before that. I had Brandon at the bottom last week.
And he's going.
He just keeps surviving. So you know what? I'm putting him at eight.
Okay.
I'm putting Danny at nine. And I actually think it's coming down to Danny or Jamie. And I'm putting Jamie at 10. I think...
Yeah.
Because Brandon's name hasn't come up from people, right? Like he kind of feels like Jonathan, but like B level Jonathan, where like Jonathan, we heard people talking about a lot and he was in the know. That's why he wasn't going. Brandon, we haven't heard that so much, but nobody has said, let's vote Brandon out. We don't want Brandon here. Brandon's too big and strong. And I know he had immunity last week and the week before, I think he was safe, but like nobody has said his name. Danny's name comes up even when he is safe.
Yeah.
So that I think is a problem for him. And based on my theory that Tika is going to team up with somebody, it makes most sense for them to team up with Sokka and vote out one of the four right now because of Lauren's extra vote. And I think Jamie makes the most sense based on this edit and everything. Like, I think Jamie is going to get blindsided this week.
Mm-hmm. She does make sense. It does make sense. While the whole thing is bippity boppity boop is fresh in her head.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we've heard, we haven't really heard Jamie's name come up. Last week, nobody was saying, oh, can we spin this to Jamie? Can it be Jamie? Can Jamie go? We had heard Lauren's name. But Jamie feels like, especially based on what we've seen from her edit, she feels like a plan B who's going to go home when the plan A is safe.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what happens to her this week. They really want to get rid of Aratu. Brandon ends up winning immunity. Well, Jamie, let's vote her out. Let's get rid of her. So I don't know. I think Jamie could be in trouble. Mm-hmm. I'm also guessing. I had Matt last week at number two and he went home. So, you know.
And you know what? I put Lauren up so high, but she could be in trouble. Everybody wants to flush that second vote. Everybody wants to flush that second vote.
Yeah.
Jeff was like, no.
No, exactly. And she's like, okay.
This is really the last time that they can make it so that the extra vote is not powerful if Ratu is tight together, which we've pretty much seen. Ratu, Kane is definitely kind of drifting over towards Tika, but the rest of Ratu, those three we saw were pretty close last week. Like, we really did. And this is kind of the last chance to get rid of them without needing the extra, you know, without the extra vote possibly being able to screw you.
They gotta, with this many people, they gotta flush some of this shit out. Yeah. They gotta flush the shit. Okay. Like, have to get flushed because there's too much going on. Like, and now if they're finally actually merged, there's actually opportunity to flush stuff.
Mm-hmm. What will happen, Karishma, at the Patel household if they split into two groups of five again and do a boot? Like, what's gonna happen to Karishma?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I just Karishma will continue watching. Karishma will be like pissed off at Jeff for doing what he should not be doing. I know Matt Van Wagenen has a lot of pull as well, and he has his head on straight about this shit too. So like, Matt, let's come on, man. Like, tell Jeff to stop it. No, I think they have to now. Individual game 10.
It has to be.
So individual game 10. Keep the numbers larger so that advantages can get flushed more easily with more numbers.
I actually think too, if that last episode was the last time we see them split and from here on it's 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, like they all, you know, they're going to tribal together. I'm okay with that because then it actually is kind of like a real merge. I just don't understand why we ever called it not a merge and didn't just call it a swap. Like you said, it was a swap.
It was a swap, just rebrand. But
yeah,
I mean, it's still entertaining in all its glory. I hate that stupid rope tunnel that they're going to be doing in the challenge.
I don't think I would do it.
I was really last season with Noelle?
Yeah.
I think I tweeted this. Like, I was not shy about this. I was really, really upset that they put ropes in almost every challenge. Mm-hmm. And I know producers they're brilliant and they're very detail oriented. So they know what they're doing. And I didn't like how they were like, they kind of knew she'd get stuck.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Come on.
Hadn't thought about that.
And I didn't like that they knew that she gets stuck. I felt like my emotions were like manipulated a bit.
That challenge terrifies me.
Yeah,
I'm claustrophobic. Yeah. I don't like that one.
Yeah, I hear and you see in the previews Carson's getting sick, and I think it was Carolyn who's stuck in the rope. Like, it's only a matter of time until somebody gets really hurt. Like, come on.
That's like that's a very scary one too. It's very I feel like you heard Noelle like screaming for help. Like, that's, and she's someone who I don't think does that very often.
No, and it's not it's not entertaining to watch.
No, it's very unsettling.
You want to watch them pushing themselves and struggling, but not to the point where it's just impossible. I don't want to see somebody writhing in a twisted knot, like a frick in a cocoon. Like, I don't want to watch that. Mm-hmm. That's not, and I get that you're forcing vulnerability out of somebody who is put in that position. And so, so much physical discomfort, but I don't like watching it. I don't like watching that much difficulty. I don't think it's entertaining.
Yeah. You know? Interesting point.
Well, it's coming. It'll be here in 2 days. So
tune in. We'll talk about it.
Tune in and look away if you're queasy. But it's coming.
We'll be watching. I'll be cheering on whoever it is. And you know, it's still a fun season. It's still a great effing cast. And I'm just happy it's still on TV. I really, 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 y'all hear anything about 45?
There's some rumor floating around about 90 minutes, which would be unbelievable.
Amazing. Yeah. Alexa and I would have much later Wednesday nights.
Y'all know anything about casting? What's up?
Y'all know anything about casting?
I think Bruce is on. That's about all I know.
That was
yeah, I don't know anything about casting. I don't have any background information. I'll just say I really, really hope that there's some returning players. I just want to see returning players now. I don't want to see the same season over and over again. I want to see something different. Either returning players or a theme. I think
it'd be cool if there were. I just like we're all like so ingrained in this community. Obviously, like I feel like by now, if there were returning players, it would have been sniffed out. Mm-hmm. But I hope it is, and no one knows. Like that would be. I would love to be surprised.
You know what I think Survivor needs to do? I think that they need like 46 or something to be a returning player season and go to 20 or do whatever you have to do and make it where it's half returning from like pre 40 and half after 40, because, yeah, and I'm not saying too. The same old, but I'm saying like Rick Devins, Dom Abate, things like that. And then take them and face them off against each other, because then we can kind of like shut up whatever people are complaining about now.
That would be a fun theme.
I would love that.
I think that would be fun.
That'd be a good theme. I like that theme. You know, 30s versus 40s. Like the pick from the Survivor 30s to the Survivor 40s.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say we certainly have enough from the 40s, but there hasn't been a returning player season for the 30s since 34. You know? Like
We'll never get old school versus new school. Like the players are
Pre-30, I think, might be done.
They're completely gone. So I feel like this is that version of it. And it's like what Winners at War could have dove more into.
That's a good idea.
I hope someone's listening.
Favorites. Yeah, I'd be down for something like that. I mean, I have a feeling they're going to do 45 is just going to be another one of these. But production knows what they need to do. They got to inject a rehaul at some point. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
I agree.
I'm really excited for the 90 minutes, though.
Yes!
You and I haven't really talked about that. That has been one of those things that I feel like everyone wants that I never, ever thought would happen, because that requires so much past the show. That requires, like, you know, the Love Boat to get canceled, which shockingly happened.
I feel so bad for those people.
I think it's going to be great. I have so much optimism about it, because it's not like they can put more advantages.
They have the content.
Like the content's there, you know?
They're fighting to air the content.
It's great. I'm so excited.
Yeah. Gosh. I mean, if they would just take it back to 39 days, that's not going to happen. That's
again. I think it's gone.
We're done with that. But that's okay. It is what it is.
It is what it is. All right. This was great. I'm tired, and I'm going to speak for the three of us.
Krishna,
this was awesome.
Krishna will be asleep in 3 minutes. Everybody,
listen. I give it 2.5, y'all. I give it 2.5.
I love it.
I'm gonna put my little sleep number back on flat.
Do it like slowly. This is awesome. We'd love to have you back on sometime.
There she goes.
Wait, we gotta close it out. We need to like fade to black.
We do. I wish we could. Anyway, patreon.com.
Bye, everyone.
That's the most important one. Follow us everywhere, and we'll see you guys on Wednesday night.
Good night.
Why aren't you eating right? Because eating right is hard? Because it isn't. Kevin Hart fixed it 4 damn years ago with The One. The one is Vita Hustle's game-changing meal replacing Super Shake, inspired by Kevin Hart's passion and belief that we all have the right to eat right. Kevin Hart is referring to himself in the third person because he's fired up. Because the one just passed 5 million Super Shakes sold. 5 million. Just a quick gut-healthy glass of the one gives you all the proteins, all the greens, and all the vitamins and more. One shake, no chaos. Listeners get 20% off their first purchase at VitaHustle.com. Go to VitaHustle.com. That's VitaHustle.com.